Hi everyone, I'm your host Joy, speaking to you from our podcast studio at Open Door Presbyterian Church. Beyond the Threshold is produced by ODPC Threshold, a media-based ministry of Open Door Presbyterian Church. The mission of the Threshold is to communicate the grace and glory of God through authentic dialogue, creative expression, and purposeful contemplation. So come on in, take a seat. This is Beyond the Threshold. On today's bonus episode of Beyond the Threshold, we briefly chat with Threshold Editor-in-Chief Francis Kang and Contributing Editor Jean Wu Lee to talk about Threshold Ministry, the role of digital media in church, and how to launch a church podcast. Hello, Jean. Hello, Francis. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello, Joy.
Welcome to Beyond the Threshold. So we're recording right after the Easter season. It's a season of restoration, renewal, and springtime is very much in full swing. You guys have any favorite activities for the springtime?
I think there's so many. There's hiking. I mean, we just have beautiful nature in the area. In the past, I've visited local vineyards. And when I was younger, I did a lot of camping. So I think I'm going to try and fit that in this
year. Wow, that's inspiring.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
How about you, Jean?
You know, thinking about this, I realize I don't necessarily have a favorite springtime activity. I think the reason is because, I think it's two reasons. One is I grew up in Florida, so we don't really quite have spring in the normal sense.
Goes right to blazing hot.
Yes. We don't really have winter. We don't really have spring. We just sort of have summer and not summer. But another reason I think it's school kind of teaches you to sort of like really value summer. So I think I plan summer a lot. You know, I think about, I have favorite summer activities, but spring is sort of like the main, anything that lets you just sort of be outside.
Yes.
So like, I think recently, you know, just a few folks and I just kind of randomly ended up spending a whole afternoon kind of unplanned on a picnic bench in a park.
That
talking
wonderful.
About you know, various issues, deep and frivolous, and then throwing a baseball around or a softball around. And yeah, that was the whole day, or you know, after in the afternoon anyway, and then followed by dinner at a restaurant where we were sitting outside. So that's the nice thing about spring, I think,
getting outside, enjoying the weather.
Exactly.
Definitely, I can't agree more. Thank you guys for joining us today. I wanted to kick it off this morning with first question: what is Threshold, and what is its purpose?
Since I'm probably the longest-serving member on Threshold, I think maybe I'll start with a little history, and then Francis can follow sort of like what the modern take is. But you know, Threshold was originally founded by Jackie Kwan and Nejin Lee in 2008, and I joined like a few months later. Originally, Threshold was a print newsletter, and over time we recruited people with different skills so that the newsletter became more graphically oriented and visually oriented, and that eventually led into being eventually into digital media. But I think the purpose of Threshold has always been twofold. One is to build communication and interconnectedness in the church. And second is to allow for self-expression and to allow people to deepen their spiritual walk by expressing themselves as well as encouraging and edifying the church.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. How about you, Francis?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to kind of reinforce what Jean said. I think there was a couple things that stuck out when I was actually even looking at the archives in preparation for the interview. And one of them was that Threshold was really trying to fill this sort of fellowship gap. And I think when you go to such a big church, you have so many kind of different fellowship circles based on, you know, your small group, the ministries that you serve in, and of course your life stage. And, you know, Threshold was trying to kind of equalize that space so that we were all kind of on the same page and not just getting lost in our own sort of social niches. And actually, I have a really great example of this. And Ben Watanabe, who is actually a next-gen leader NextGen being our young adult ministry, had actually penned an article for us on the men's retreat. And I think this is just a beautiful example of filling that fellowship gap. First, the fact that a men's retreat, women are not going to have any insight into that. So we get a report on what actually goes on there. And secondly, is that you get it from the perspective of a young adult, NextGen ministry young adult. And I think, you know, that hopefully we've preserved kind of the original vision of what the threshold was when they first launched. And that's irrespective of whether we're a digital format or, you know, an online blog. And I think it's exactly what Jean said about creating a forum for creative expression. We had transitioned to a digital format in late 2014. That was actually our official launch. And the reason for doing that was because we wanted to expand beyond print media. I think print media is a great forum, but there's so much more that you could do with digital media. And that almost kind of demanded that we go into the digital space.
So let me ask you this. I mean, why podcasting then? I mean, how did this project come together and what was involved?
So podcast was actually always on the agenda. It was just a matter of having a ministry that was mature to the point where we could launch a podcast. And you have to think about sort of the logistics of it. You have the budgeting, you have the resources, you really need the right people. But I think the sort of draw of podcasting is it's just another way to create sort of intimacy between members. And it's different from print media because essentially what you're doing is you're inviting people to be in a conversation with you. And I think that's the beauty of podcasting. Now, I will say, when I was doing kind of the preliminary research for podcasting, I was a little disappointed because...
Why is that?
Because most of the podcasts out there were obviously sermon podcasts, but a lot of the Christian podcasts that I would listen to sounded very kind of like self-help, self-care, you know, sort of lecture type. And I just wasn't sure if that was something that would resonate with our members. And I know when we had launched this podcast in the beginning... at least for me, consciously, I wanted to make it more organic, more personable, and not something where it was like, you know, you're being preached at.
So would you say like this, that when, in terms of deciding when the time was right to do this, right? It was something that was already on the agenda. What was it that, was it an organic sort of development of having these conversations kind of recorded, or how did you know it was the right time then?
I knew it was the right time because Joy, you agreed to be our host.
Oh my goodness.
And okay. I think the host is really the pivotal factor. I remember that as an editor, when I was kind of considering, hey, who's the best person for this host job? You have to remember, not anybody can host a podcast. You need somebody who's engaging, who is very knows how to use discretion, and can handle some of the sensitive and mature content. Mm. Be a people person. And I think, you know, Joy, honestly, I feel like
keep going. Yeah. Keep going, Francis.
I remember thinking,
please stop.
Like, yeah, there's just no podcast without Joy because Yikes. The host is really critical to the success, I think, of any podcast.
So when you're leading this digital media ministry, what are some of the benefits and challenges, though, right? There's lots of there are different aspects of it and different moving parts. Can you talk a little bit more about those benefits and challenges of doing this?
So I think one of the biggest challenges is that digital media requires patience. And when we first launched the ministry, it was kind of stepwise progress. So in the beginning, for example, year one, we're actually into our fifth year of our digital format. Year one was about how do we do website development? We had to kind of lay down the foundation.
Really the basics.
Right.
The building blocks
right.
for all of it.
Exactly. So it was, you could think of it as building infrastructure. So, you know, how do we manage an online blog? How do we run a ministry that's like digital? And then year two, we actually kind of regressed a little bit. And we were like, well, how do we kind of translate online content into a magazine format? Mm. And 2016 was actually the year that we published a legitimate magazine. But that was also, I think, a great exercise because we were going back to print media, but deriving the source from digital media. And then the year after that, we focused on social media. Year four, which was last year, there was a huge push for video content. Mm. And now here we are with the podcast.
Right. So it sounds like there's this iterative process, right, sort of not just moving forward, but also taking stock and then building on
exactly
each step. So there's, it takes time, and that's maybe, you know, a challenge.
Right.
Benefit-wise, though, I mean, how do you guys see the benefits of leading this digital media ministry, Gene?
So just building on what Francis was saying, like, there are so many aspects to digital media ministry that one of the, just to kind of backtrack a little bit, one of the mm-hmm. challenges is it's really difficult to find individual people who have the full range of skills, you know, some of the things that Francis just mentioned, and some of the things that are going to be in the digital media conference we're going to be having soon. And so you have to just sort of find people who have a certain set of skills that you need. And so you need to find more people. And so first you need to find all these people. And then second, you need to manage and work with people with these different skills who have subsequently different personalities, different perspectives. So when Jackie and I first started with Nejin, and then eventually Nejin left, but it was mostly just Jackie and me. And then we have a certain perspective. And as we added people, we had to manage those people. And then
there's that team sort of building effort, right? Of
right.
That, and the vision, and also how you want to tackle something like this together.
Right. And so, I mean, Jackie and I are a little more old school, so we had more of a print, written word perspective. I think we both love the written word. I remember having discussions about whether we should have more or less text, for example, even in the print version.
So and really, like, getting into the nitty-gritty of, you know, how much text.
Right, literally, yes. And versus, should we have more of a graphical approach? And so just one example of, you have different points of view. And when you move into a digital space, that becomes even more prevalent because you have, you know, various aspects you have to be concerned about. And so then you have to also be concerned about, you know, balancing quality and productivity, because you have to realize that in a church, you're dealing with a volunteer force, basically. So everyone's volunteering their time, and you have to be respectful of that. That they're, you know, they're not employees; they're volunteers. So you sometimes you have to say, you know, you can't let perfection be the enemy of the good, and just say this is good enough. And you know, you can't always get exactly what you want, and you have to be, but you have to be willing to accept something that is what people can give, and have that grace. And I think some advice that I would have for churches who are looking to some other advice I'd have for people who are trying to get into digital ministry is, ideally, it really would be helpful to have a communications director who's really savvy about the web and social media, so that the church can have an integrated communication strategy for both internal and external communications. I think that's something that, you know, is ideal. It's very difficult to find, but I think that would be something that would be really helpful.
Anything you want to add, Francis, in terms of advice for other churches or other people looking to start their own digital media and arts ministry?
Yeah, so to answer your earlier question about the benefits,
yes.
So I think the digital space, there's just so much room for creativity. And I think that's, you know, the creative element, I don't think should be underestimated when it comes to any sort of communications. And, you know, digital format encourages kind of creation. And I think a lot of people, that's kind of wired into them in terms of how they want to profess their faith, how they want to articulate themselves. And even this podcast, I think, is an example of creative expression. In terms of advice, I think the best advice is to consult. And I say,
what do you mean when you say that? Consult.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who kind of launch digital media ministries kind of rely on sort of their immediate, circle of people that they know. But you have a whole church, And, you know, you just never know who has the expertise and who has the talent to contribute and who can really kind of help and sort of facilitate the process. And, you know, I have to give these shout outs because these people, I feel like, were really instrumental to just the whole ministry even getting, you know, up and running. Our first consultant was actually Chu Kim. And for people who know him, he's actually has been a longtime volunteer with AV Ministry. So he was just kind of a natural consultant for us because he was, you know, he's worked in IT. He's familiar with the field. He's familiar with the church. Mm-hmm. And I just remember when I was launching the website, I'm the last person that was like qualified to do this. And Chu really like jumped in, gave me all the keys to unlock what I needed to launch this ministry. And, you know, even to this day, I feel like I owe so much to him. Wow. We had another consultant, Ryan Kim. And unfortunately, he moved to the West Coast, but he was working for a very well-known digital agency in D.C. And I mean, he was much younger, but I remember him just laying it all out over email. And some of the things were completely over my head. But you know what? A lot of what he was talking about in those early days actually came to fruition later on.
Really drawing on that expertise, consulting, being open to
exactly
the experiences that other people, particularly in the church, have.
Yeah, and I think like that just shows that, you know, the church has so much to offer. And I feel like, you know, as a ministry, you should be able to capitalize on that. Even with this podcast, if you hear the end credits, Sarah Oh, John Lim, they were consultants for this podcast, you know, and that's a trend that I've noticed. Anytime we break out into some sort of new media, I always recruit consultants.
And they're people who've already been there.
That's right.
Right? And have seen different variations right. of it. I mean, that's awesome. And hearing you talk about that makes me wonder, you know, so how can we use and leverage digital media, right, to be this gospel community sent in the everyday, this mission that we have as a church where we want to see our church body, right, integrated into our communities, sent on mission? How do you see digital media playing a role in that? Gene, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, digital media is great for certain things. Actually, I realized I didn't actually answer your question about the benefits. Really quickly, I'll say that one of the things I've noticed is that when you approach a topic from a different medium, mm-hmm. you actually get different results. I think it's something we've noticed. Even things that you think, oh, I heard this person talk about this before, when you hear them through a different format, you'll get a slightly different take, even
from
the same person.
Yeah, I think we learn differently, right?
Right.
We absorb in
exactly.
different ways. Yeah.
So I think digital media is great for certain things. Obviously, conveying information, providing content. You know, podcasts are a great example where you can have a variety of formats. You know, church can utilize and be blessed in different ways. But I think also we have to recognize that there are some challenges and limitations with digital media. I think I'm been thinking a lot about how our modern digital age has changed people's expectations and how their interactions with their environment, with other people. And I think it's something we've all been thinking mm-hmm. about, right? And that has an impact on church. You know, can right. we have to, not only do we have to use digital media, I think we have to understand it and understand its effects. And so I think that's something we're all still wrapping our
working
minds around.
Yeah.
But I think digital media should be, this is my perspective. I'm not 100% sure about it, but my current take now is that digital media should be a gateway to church, but it should not be the experience itself. Because I think that church, you still have to have a certain, there has to be a level of physical one-to-one group, you know, interaction that is fundamental.
I think that, I mean, that's something that you mentioned earlier. We've all kind of started to take in, what does it mean for so much of our lives to be digital, right? And how does that affect each one of us individually in the way that we process information, our expectations for things to be done immediately? That download took more than 8 seconds. That is long, you know?
Right, exactly.
Or, and to your point, connecting that with our faith and connecting that with the fellowship and sort of also the time that we set aside, right, for really growing, growing our relationships, growing in our faith, and also really kind of being in God's presence, right? There is no way to sort of go through the drive-through, right, for that kind of experience. What are your thoughts, Francis, for, you know, how to use digital media as, you know, to be this gospel community set in the everyday?
Yeah, and I completely agree with Gene. I think he's made some great points. I think there's a lot of ambivalence when it comes to digital media, particularly with social media. But I think that, you know, with the early adoption of IT, there was a lot of concerns. But I also see this trend now, especially with the younger generations, where digital media has become normalized into society.
It's a given.
That's right.
It's odd if you're missing it, perhaps.
Yeah. And I think there's also this weird stigma about how, you know, churches are somehow selling out if they do digital media. I couldn't disagree with that more. And I think Tim Challies, who is, you know, well-known Christian blogger, he actually made this great quote in an interview where he talks about, you know, who says that the Great Commission is carried out separate from technology. The Great Commission can be carried out through it and with it. And I think he's just kind of a living embodiment of doing that by, you know, running his very successful Christian blog. I also think that digital media technology isn't inherently good or bad. I think a lot of times it's people's behaviors and attitudes towards it that kind of distorts its use. And really, it's really up to us, I think, as Christians, to be conscious of how we use digital media in a way that honors God, that glorifies God. You know, if the greatest testimony of being Christians is how we live our life, I think social media is a great way to express that and articulate it. I mean, why not? So in that case, I'm a big proponent, but, you know, with caution, obviously, use discretion. And I think this, you know, media ministry is also us kind of, you know, capitalizing on that. And the last thing I want to say is I want to challenge people to think of the digital space as a mission field.
What do you mean?
Meaning you can do evangelism through digital media. You know, that can be a part of mission. And the reason why I say that is you see so many social media campaigns, you see these kind of global hashtags, you see movements, political and cultural movements that are sort of, you know, revived and sort of invigorated through social media. I don't see why we can't do that with ministry and with our faith. I think part of the challenge of that is figuring out how we do that.
If I could interject one comment, I wanted to flesh out a little bit more about what I meant with about what I was concerned about with digital media ministry and the Christian life. I don't think I'm necessarily saying anything that's profound or that people haven't thought of, but I just wanted to articulate it clearly, which is there's an aspect of digital media which is, one, it's on demand. Two, it's instantaneous. Three, it's tailored to your expectations. And those things are not, and I think the reason why there is some ambivalence, as Francis mentioned, is those three qualities are not endemic to the Christian life. So I think that is the challenge, is to be able to engage with digital media and to recognize that, are those things inherent to digital media? Can you avoid those aspects?
I challenge you to say that those three things, you know, don't have to be. I think that you're absolutely right. Those are the three things that we tend to think of first about digital media. And yet when we think about, you know, how long, you know, these web pages will last on the internet forever and ever, or perhaps, you know, the piece of giving folks another way to share their lives in a way that's about their whole lives, right? And it would, if we can integrate the social media space or whatever it is, there is something very intriguing to me, right, about how do you really incorporate that, and how does that look, and not to sort of fall into the trap of, well, this is the way that the world has portrayed digital media to be, and therefore either we engage or we don't engage, or I must subscribe to that. So I really appreciate you kind of also bringing those things up to kind of make sure we're thinking hard about, you know, how will we use it, right? And to challenge that framework.
Right. That's the common challenge that faces, you know, the church in dealing with culture in general, right? Mm-hmm. If you're engaging with culture, are you driving the culture? Are you following the culture? And in this case, you know, it's not just the church. I mean, it's a challenge for everyone, you know, is how much are we driving digital media versus how much of it is driving us? But I do think there is a legitimate concern for if, as the church engages with digital media, to make sure we're not falling into the trap of those three elements that I just mentioned.
That's a great point. That's a great point. As I think about, you know, you guys have, there's this path and journey that the Threshold has been on. And, you know, the podcast itself is another chapter in it. Looking ahead, what can we expect to see from Threshold in the future?
So I think right now we're going to be more proactive about integrating the podcast into the rest of the ministry and making it more cohesive with other digital platforms. And one idea that we've kind of thrown around is pitching a summer reading series. And, you know, you could do that in print, you could do that online. But, you know, how do you kind of get a podcast to sort of align with that? And, you know, I think we had some very, very preliminary discussions about, you know, hey, maybe we could do like a, you know, book club type discussion.
Summer book club.
Yeah, summer book club. Or maybe we could do like a round table, mm-hmm. or we could do book reviews over the podcast. I mean, it's just there's so many good ideas out there. And I feel like that is the true sort of power and flexibility of the podcasting platform. Aside from the podcasting part of it, I think, and when it comes to, you know, this year, I feel like the podcast has been really successful. I mean, it's just done well beyond my expectations. But I think the next logical step from a podcast is actually to go into a webcast or a videocast. And I'm not sure what that looks like yet. You know, I feel like we need to have some more conversations with leadership. But, you know, when you kind of think about in terms of long term, I think there's no reason to stop at podcasting. I think there's more digital media out there. I think ultimately the vision is to kind of have all these tools, whether it be podcasting or videocast or print media or a website, to really foster something creative to spread the gospel, communicate what's going on at our church, and to really inspire others to share their testimonies and to articulate it in a way that is kind of, you know, natural to their talents and to their gifts, you know, whether it be writing or whether it be drama or whether it be art, any of that.
I love that because I think you talk about the idea of it being a toolkit, right? These are different tools for us to use in a way that really there isn't a limit on that, right? But how do we also, to your earlier points about the challenges of setting these things up and doing it in a way that's intentional, but also engaging of the broader community, because at the end of the day, it is a ministry also beyond, you know, for the church, but also for those beyond, right?
I think that's like a perfect kind of entry point for the digital conference that we're actually launching.
I'm very excited about that. Yeah, Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we're calling it ODPC DigiCon 2019. And it's funny because the question, now that we've kind of, it's out there, the questions I've always gotten is like, what is DigiCon? You know, and it sounds like a Pokemon, but I'm telling you it's not.
You'll get a lot of turnout if it's Pokemon.
It might.
It's short for digital conference. And the way that we're setting it up this year is we're running these kind of digital media workshops. And kind of starting with the more kind of what you would traditionally expect of digital media, whether it be photography, video production, graphic design. But we're actually also even pushing it to something, you know, more technical like web development, brand management, social media, and then finally entrepreneurship. And the rationale for this is, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I just felt like it was unfair to have all these consultants share their knowledge with just us.
You know, I felt like
to share it more broadly.
Yeah,
I felt like there is quite a hunger for that to learn more about digital media.
Right, and I think there's so many more people out there that would benefit from their wisdom and their knowledge, and it was also kind of a reason to sort of mobilize the digital media and arts community. And you know, speaking to Jean's point, to even think about this in a way, in new ways, in a context of culture, in terms of church mm-hmm. and ministry. And, you know, especially with a lot of young people who are kind of, you know, rejecting more traditional career paths, it's, you know, it's the world is different now. It's not about being a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher. I think they're really craving mentorship. And I think this is a great opportunity for, you know, a lot of younger folks to come and learn about, you know, hey, what is the industry like?
So it's not just about sharing that expertise. Right. There's also that aspect of connecting folks
That's
together.
Right. That's right.
For that mentorship. And I mean, one of the things I love about the idea of the digital conference, the DigiCon 2019, is the partnership with another ministry too, right? That the threshold is partnering with the church's 9-to-5 ministry. Can you talk about that piece of it?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. I think it was kind of natural to partner with them just because, you know, their focus is on how do we integrate faith and work. And they follow this sort of philosophy where, you know, God has a purpose and design for our lives in work, and he encourages flourishing in the workplace. And I think that's a challenge. But I think for the purposes of this conference, it's like even if it's digital media and the arts, especially given that this is a relatively new kind of field that's sort of, I don't know, I would say it's enjoying, I don't know if it's like a renaissance, but there's definitely a lot of energy around these kind of fields. And, you know, we're also, two other things that we're kind of offering is a career counseling seminar. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who are not necessarily satisfied or fulfilled in their careers. And, you know, people are kind of making, you know, career changes. And I think that's totally fine. And then you have younger folks who are quite uncertain when it comes to what am I good at? What am I interested in? And I'm really excited because Gloria Ha is going to be delivering the counseling seminar, the career counseling seminar. And, you know, one of the things that we discussed was, you know, I really want to kind of ask people if they know the difference between vocation and calling. So I think there's like deeper questions when it comes to, you know, not only digital media, but even how we kind of perceive work. The second person who's sharing is Business as Testimony. And Say Lee is somebody who's actually gone overseas and founded a startup, and to talk about the challenges of what it's like to cross cultural barriers. And, you know, when I was talking earlier about the digital space being a mission field, I think that is the kind of literal manifestation of what he was doing out there. And yeah, I think just this conference has so much to offer.
There's going to be a little bit for everybody.
Yeah,
in terms of,
absolutely.
And really, I think hopefully kind of just the beginning for a lot of folks of probing at those questions, right? To your point about vocation versus calling, or as we talked about sort of digital media as part of our efforts to be a gospel community set in the everyday, that really begs a lot of questions of each one of us mm-hmm. to think deeply and intentionally and thoughtfully about, you know, what are the ways that I might interact with digital media?
Correct.
And what are the ways that I would like to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as, you know, we think about, oh gosh, this is very exciting. The digital conference will be, I mean, I'm very excited to see how it goes. Maybe it will be the first of many.
Right.
We'll see. But certainly no small undertaking and a lot of work going to this, but I think something that hopefully gives us as a community something to think about, not just that one day, but, you know, for the rest of the year, for the months and weeks to come after that. Anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, and for our listeners, I really want to say that I think a lot of people come to church waiting for something to happen. And I think, but on the other hand, I also think that if you see an opportunity to take it, and I think ODPC DigiCon is an opportunity for you to connect with people outside of your social spheres, outside of your comfort zones, and to learn and grow together as a community, you know? And I mean, this is kind of gospel community, right? We're doing life together, even if it means learning and growing. And I really think that this is something that you can take beyond your spheres of influence, because digital media is so heavily based on this kind of networking effect. So I think these skills are just going to be, you know, not only instrumental, but transformative even. So I highly encourage people to kind of take that step and join our conference, because you never know, you might be very surprised at the outcome. And, you know, kind of to sort of plug our theme for the conference, Shift Happens.
Thank you so much, Frances. Thank you, Jean, for giving us a lot to think about today, not just about the Threshold Ministry itself, but how do we really think about digital media in our own lives and how we might want to contribute. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, and we can't wait to see what's next for the ministry.
Thank you, Joy.
Oh, thank you, Joy.
Thanks to our Threshold editors for appearing on today's bonus episode of Beyond the Threshold. Don't forget to register for ODPC DigiCon 2019. You can find it on Threshold's website, or you can also click in through ODPC's main webpage. If you'd like to connect with our Threshold editors, you can email them at threshold@odpcec.org. For more information on The Threshold, visit us at threshold.odpcec.org and subscribe to our blog for ODPC news, discourse, and creative content. If you'd like to share your story with us and be featured on Beyond the Threshold, please contact threshold@odpcec.org. To all our listeners, thank you for stepping beyond the threshold with me. Special thanks to John Lim and Sarah O. I'm Joy from Open Door Presbyterian Church. Be sure to join us next time on Beyond the Threshold.